his words, they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius. He asked them, "Whose image is on this? And whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." You know, this took me a while to wrap my head around this whole scripture and how to figure out how to use it tonight. And the more I thought about it, you know, Caesar to me looks like the world. Okay? It's always full of something interesting, something different, something that wants to drag you to it and take you away from God. You know, there's all kinds of finger pointing, people trying to get people to do things they don't want to do. So, let me tell you a little story about myself. I make sure it'll be a Reader's Digest version. And I'll come back to this Caesar fellow, or the world, if you will. My life has always been in turmoil up till about a year ago. I grew up in a religious house. Things were always fairly good. We had problems here and there, struggled, if you will. God had taken my father to be with him when I was a young boy. And I trapped a lot of feelings and had a lot of feelings trapped. You know, back in the 60s, if you were a young man, you were told to stuff it and deal with it. So that just boiled for years. I was a hothead, no patience. Basically, it was a ticking time bomb. So one day I started looking at myself and decided, you know, that my life was just not right with Christ. I kept him in that back corner, took him out to yell at him because I was mad. So I went to talk to Pastor Dave, and we sat and talked for a while, read some scripture, said a few prayers, and then if any of you, I'm sure you all know Pastor Dave, it's like, okay, what did I get myself into? You know, I'm sitting here with him. The next thing he tells me is I need to go on a journey. I'm thinking a journey, okay, what, 1,000-mile forced march, uphill both ways, you know. No real explanation, just that it would be a journey of faith and that I would have fun. So I say, okay, you know, not a problem. So I filled out the paperwork and didn't think too much more about it. I get this phone call from a gentleman, never met him before in my life, wants to get a hold of me and talk to me about the paperwork I filled out for Pastor Dave. So I'm sitting there on the phone thinking, okay, now what did I really get myself into? So we met, we sat and talked for what seemed like a few minutes, actually turned out to be a couple hours. Turns out he's my best friend today. We talk all the time. Then in September, I went on my journey, a walk, if you will. It was an interesting place to be. I didn't think too much about it the first couple days. But on the end of the second day, things started to click. They started to feel different. And I really couldn't explain it. There was just something inside me that wanted out. That evening, I had a talk with a couple people. And I discovered that I was mad at God for the last 51 years. I always thought that I could be, but I never thought that I was. I thought I was doing the right thing by stuffing everything inside and just keeping it the way it was. Once I discovered that and got myself out of that thought of stuffing it, I felt such a relief and such a love from everybody that was there that weekend. It was fantastic to see God's grace and to feel it finally and to know that he was there and that he didn't do anything on purpose to me, that it was what I was feeling and the way I made it. Excuse me. So to end my weekend, it was a pretty traumatic weekend. Sunday morning we got up. went to the chapel to do our morning prayers and devotions, and I was told to stay behind instead of going to breakfast. So here comes that thought again, okay, what did I get myself into, or where are we going now? Turns out they wanted to talk to me. My brother-in-law was killed Saturday night in a car accident along with his 6-year-old son. I don't remember much except being on one side of the room and then being on the other side of the room with a bunch of people around me. I discovered that morning that, yeah, I wanted to be at home. I wanted to be with my wife, my kids. You know, I wanted to give back to Caesar what was Caesar's. I wanted to give him everything I could, you know. The anger was still there. I was still learning how to deal with it. And then it hit me like a load of bricks. All these people were there talking to me, praying for me, and helping me because they loved me, because God loved me. It turns out that I actually needed to be there at that point in time. Excuse me. I'm getting over a cold. I wasn't supposed to be home with the wife and kids. I was better off being there and learning how to let God run my life and let him lead me and not me try to lead him everywhere. When I got home, it was unlike any other thing that I had been through, with the wife being upset and everything. But instead of being mad and trying to yell, I found myself sitting and talking to her, not trying to shut her out and figure out what had happened and who was at fault. And this continued on till today. Wife and kids want to know where the old dad went, but they love the new one because he doesn't yell. But it was just a fantastic time to be there and to learn what was wrong with me and what was going on in my life. And the only thing I can say is, you know, give your life to God, not to Caesar. There's nothing that Caesar or the world could do or give you that is worth anything. The rewards to be with God and do what God wants you to do and to follow him are fantastic. They far outweigh anything in this world. My life has changed tremendously. That's what got me up here now. I would never have done this before. I have made so many new friends and discovered things that I want to do and ways to help people that I never thought I could. So with that, I think I'll let Pastor Christopher have this.
Thank you for sharing, David. I have to apologize to David for probably giving him one of the most challenging passages to read. But he did a good job. He did a great job. Thank you. I want to extend that invitation to all of you who attend Taizé regularly. If you have a story that you might think would fit into a scriptural passage and you have the courage to share at a Taizé, the invitation is extended to you. All you have to do is come see me or Becky, our adult director of discipleship. She usually mans the prayer bench. I was thinking about that passage as David was reading it, and it reminded me of back in the summer when the Cleveland Indians were winning, and I had the opportunity to take my son and one of his friends to the Indians game, and it was a exciting game. I think my son's friend was more into the Indians than my son was, which was okay because it made my son a better Indians fan, and I was cheering both of them on. So we had the game in hand, and the seventh inning came, and my son looked at me and he said, Daddy, are we going to do what we always do? And I said, Sweet Moses? And he goes, yeah. I says, I don't know. Do you think Tyler's ever been to Sweet Moses? Well, if you don't know, Sweet Moses is an ice cream place in Cleveland, and old-fashioned, hand-dipped, soda fountain, the whole nine yards. Tyler had never been. So we left out of the game early and went down to Sweet Moses. And my son has a retainer. He's had his braces off. Now he's got a retainer. And so we ordered our ice cream and had a wonderful time together. And it was getting pretty late. Hopped in the car, going down 71. We're almost to 130th. And my son screams out, Daddy! And I knew as soon as he screamed out what had happened. You know where this story is going, right? I forgot my retainer. So I kept a level head because his friend was in the car. Pulled off, Googled Sweet Moses, called him up, and was talking to this lovely young lady on the other end, and I says, I am so sorry to bother you. I know it's a busy night. I says, my son wrapped his retainer in a paper towel, and he left it there. And she goes, oh, my sister used to do that all the time. Give me 5 minutes and call me back. I'll go in the back and look at it after I get done filling this order. And so I'm turning around and going back up 71, and I give her about 5 or 10 minutes, and I call her back, and she goes, I found it. It's a good thing you called, because it was in the top of the trash and they were just getting ready to take it out to the dumpster. And I said, oh boy, thank you. I don't have a habit of carrying cash, but fortunately Tyler had some cash. And and I said, Anthony, this became a teachable moment. Anthony, you're going to have to go in there and thank this young lady for saving your retainer, and I want you to give her $5. Oh, by the way, Tyler, can I borrow $5? Can Anthony borrow $5, right? And he did. And long story short, Anthony grew up in that moment and went in there and gave the lady a $5 bill for the work she did, and she had packaged it for him, and he brought it back to the car, and so we pull into the driveway, and Tyler's mom's there waiting on us, and I'm apologizing for being late and telling the story, and there's like, oh, okay, so they're getting ready to leave. And I says, no, Anthony, I says, you've got a debt you'd need to pay. He says, we pay our debts. You know, that's the teaching moment there. And I says, why don't you run upstairs to your big piggy bank and get $5 so you can pay, so you can give Tyler what truly is his. And his mom was like, no, you don't have to do that. And I said, no, this is a teachable moment. You know, when we incur a debt, we need to be able to repay that debt. And I think that's a little bit of what our story is tonight about, you know, paying our debts, right? And Jesus, the beautiful part of the whole story is Jesus pays a debt that we could never repay. We could never repay the debt he paid on our behalf by breaking the bread, blessing it, giving thanks, giving it to his disciples and said, this is your debt paid with my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks and blessed it. He says, this is a cup of the new and everlasting covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. We come to the table on a night like this, reading a passage that we might think, how does it relate to our lives? And I can't help but think, all the worldly stuff that we obtain throughout our lifetime that we can't cram back into the coffin when we go, that is offered up at countless garage sales or estate sales. You've heard that old saying, you can't take it with you. But when we go, that debt is paid back because we are giving ourselves to God. Even before we go, when we come to the table to receive the body and blood of Christ, it's an opportunity to accept that beautiful payment that's been made on our behalf, to offer our hearts, our minds, and our souls, just as a simple way of saying thank you for the debt that Jesus incurred on our behalf. So we have that opportunity to give God what truly belongs to God, our whole self. And so we would pray that God's Holy Spirit would be poured out upon these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine, that they would become for us the body and blood of Christ, that as we partake, we become with one with Christ and one with each other as we say yes to offering our lives back to Christ, saying thank you for the debt that has been paid on our behalf. In the beautiful name of Jesus, all God's children said, amen. We in the United Methodist Church practice an open table, which means that you don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come forward and receive this gift, this love offering. Just simply hold your hands out. You'll be given a piece of bread, and you'll hear the words, the body of Christ broken for you. And then simply take that and dip it into the cup and hear the words, the blood of Christ shed for you. And if you have gluten-free needs, there's also a gluten-free station here as well. I'd invite David to come up and hold the cup for us tonight. The debt has been paid. The invitation has been extended. All you have to do now is respond as you feel led. Come. As one who was over $500,000 in debt, I know what it's like to carry that burden, and then, by the grace of God, to become debt-free. I say that to encourage you to remember to go from this place knowing that you're debt-free, the price has been paid in the blood and body of Christ. Go in the hope, freedom, and grace of Jesus. Amen.